Let's open our Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. I hope you have spent some time in Proverbs since our last study last week, and I trust that it has deepened your relationship with the Lord. I wish we could take time to hear of any testimonies of anyone that has. I know the day after our last study, someone who sees it on the internet commented that it had helped to cause them to study a chapter in Proverbs and were richly blessed by it. And I look forward to all of us just being enriched by studying the book of Proverbs. Tonight we're going to look at the first 9 verses, and these words of Solomon you could call a summary of the whole book of Proverbs. I can hear Solomon tell his son, "Let's learn about wisdom." And the first lesson would be these verses that we are studying tonight. In honor of God's word, let's stand and follow along as I read verses 1 through 9. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. This is God's word. You may be seated. Well, let's learn about wisdom by going to these verses in Proverbs. You'll see on your outline, number one, a summary of the benefits of studying Proverbs. And in verses 1 through 6, we have 11 different benefits of studying Proverbs. And this was written by Solomon to encourage his son or sons, he mentions one, but probably others as well that came after the first son, to study wisdom. They didn't have the written book of Proverbs at the time that he said this to his son, but there were the words of God and the Proverbs that were communicating the wisdom of God. So we have a summary of the benefits of studying Proverbs in verses 1 to 6. The first of those 11 is wisdom, and that begins in verse 1. The introduction to the book, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. We have the word proverb here, and the Hebrew word for proverb is derived from a root. And in Hebrew, there's a system of roots that the words are built on. And the word proverb is derived from a root word, which means to rule. So therefore, the Proverbs are sayings that are supposed to rule and govern our lives. Last week I gave you, I think it was 3 definitions of a proverb. I'll give you another one tonight. It's from the MacArthur Study Bible. And it says, the Proverbs are short, pithy sayings that express timeless truth and wisdom. They arrest one's thoughts, causing the reader to reflect on how one might apply divine principles to life situations. Now, since this book is inspired scripture, and all scripture is given by inspiration or breathed out by God and is profitable, since this book is part of inspired scripture, it contains God's proverbs or God's rules for how to live a life that's pleasing to Him. You can go all kinds of places to find man's rules. There's all kinds of self-help books and all of those kinds of things. And sometimes they're valuable and sometimes they're not. But they're full of man's wisdom. But this is full of God's wisdom. And so it says the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, of course, the source of Solomon's wisdom, and he's considered the wisest person in the world, the source of Solomon's wisdom was God. Because you remember, we looked at the verses in 1 Kings last week, that after his father David died, God asked Solomon, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon's answer, after he expressed gratefulness to God for his faithfulness, he asked for, quote, "an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern your great people?" So here he is. Instead of asking for honor and fame and riches and all of those things, he is asking for wisdom to be the leader that God called him to be. And God was pleased with that and said that he would give him greater wisdom than anyone before him had, than anyone in his day had, and anyone after him. That's far more than what Solomon asked for. And God promised to him. So Solomon says the Proverbs of Solomon, and then he reminds us he is the son of David, king of Israel. Now think about that, having David for his father. As Solomon was growing up, he was able to observe Israel's greatest and godliest king. Now, of course, he was only the second king of Israel. He certainly was the greater compared to Saul and wiser. But when you look at all the rest of the kings that followed him, he was the greatest and the godliest. And that was his father. And Solomon was observing this man, his father. But in doing that, he was observing a man who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. So what an example that he had. And it would be great after we get to heaven to be able, after we've been there a billion years or so, and we're talking with David and Solomon, it would be great to hear David recount some of the things that he remembers telling Solomon. But it wasn't just what David told him, but he observed godliness. Now, we all know David had failure. He was not perfect. And terrible sin in his life. But he also was a man after God's own heart that knew what it was to humble himself before God and to confess before God and to be restored. And all of those lessons he left for Solomon. And so this experience of being the son of this man after God's own heart, God used that experience in his life as a background for godly living, which then is expounded upon in all of these proverbs in this book that are inspired by God. So it's the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. So that's the first of these benefits. Now, Proverbs contains six different Hebrew words for wisdom. You find that a lot in Old Testament with Hebrew and New Testament with Greek, that there'll be a number of different words that are synonymous but yet have different shades of meaning. Like you often hear of the native Alaskans, they must have 20 different words for snow because they're even more familiar with it than we are after the last couple of days and can distinguish all these different shades of meaning of the word snow. Well, we have that in Proverbs, all kinds of shades of meaning with this word wisdom. This Hebrew word that is used here refers to a person's ability to make the right choices at the most opportune time in their life. And so it is called skills in living, or skillful living would be what this particular Hebrew word for wisdom is talking about. Now, in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we're told to prize this wisdom more than money. It says in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, prize her, and the context there is wisdom, highly, and she will exalt you. She shall honor you if you embrace her. And then, you know, it was also prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would possess wisdom. Now, that's over in Jeremiah 23, verse 5, talking about the Messiah, that he will deal wisely. And so we call Solomon the wisest person, but actually the wisest one who ever lived on the earth was Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we saw last week at the end of our study, as a believer, we are promised the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of wisdom. And part of what God has given to develop that in our heart and life is this wonderful book of Proverbs. So that's the first benefit, wisdom. The second one is instruction, the next part of verse 2, and instruction. Now, the Hebrew word there that's translated instruction means, in particular, admonition or discipline. You know, much instruction is simply giving knowledge. And that's not what this Hebrew word instruction is communicating. But there is also an aspect of knowledge and instruction that is admonishing. And then is disciplining. When we aren't following what we should follow, there are words that come of discipline to kind of shape us up, if necessary, to give us a little spanking and shape us up. And that is the instruction that's being talked about here. And so it's been said that Proverbs will keep you on your toes. And that's true as you're carefully reading the book of Proverbs, not just reading it with your eyes kind of glazed over, but really reading it. It's going to step on your toes on things that need to be changed in your life. That's part of this kind of instruction, of admonishing. John Kitchen, who wrote an excellent commentary on the book of Proverbs, wrote in his commentary about this, reading this book, that is Proverbs, is profitable but not comfortable. And that's a very interesting statement, and it's really true. As we carefully read Proverbs, it's going to be profitable, but it's not always very comfortable. It's not comfortable when someone is stepping on your toes. And God uses Proverbs to give us that kind of instruction. Now, not only is the book of Proverbs an instructor that brings God's truth to our lives, but it points us to other instructors. And I believe I put those on your outline. For instance, parents. Right away, when we think of what other instructors God has given us, he has given every one of us parents. And we're going to see that in our study tonight in chapter 1, verse 8. And then another instructor is the Lord himself. In chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "The Lord reproves him whom he loves." That's this kind of admonition, disciplinary instruction. The Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Sound familiar? That shows up in Hebrews, inspired of the Holy Spirit, and takes inspired scripture and puts that in Hebrews as well. And then there's another instructor, that is experience. In chapter 24, there's an example of that. In verses 30 to 32, there's the experience of watching the sluggard. Sluggard is another term for the lazy person. The lazy sluggard shows up frequently in the book of Proverbs because he's saying, get in mind this experience. Surely you've seen someone who is just lazy. And from the experience of seeing where that person goes, learn something about wisdom. Another instructor is reproof. Chapter 19, verse 25, talks about that. When I was looking at that in preparation for this, I thought that of my life. My life has certainly been benefited because of times from reproof from someone. Of course, there were the times as I was growing up when my parents needed to discipline me because I was disobeying, and there were spankings, and they were sitting on a little chair in the corner and all of those kinds of things. But also, as I think of an adult being reproved, the first one that came to my mind was when my dad reproved me. When I was in college, in my senior year, And I had decided to quit college, that close to quitting. What happened? I'd become the pastor of the church that I then pastored, started the beginning of my senior year. And by the end of the first semester, I was so enjoying that and so much wanted to do more. But, you know, I was a full-time student and taking the classes and had to drive every day a half hour to school and back and all those things. I thought, oh, I don't need the rest of these classes. I've gotten going and what I want to do and God wants me to do, I'm going to quit. And my dad reproved me for that. And I praise God for that. There was a time when I was engaged to a young woman and not tearing. And a very, very wise, fatherly figure in my life came to me and said, Dennis, do you really believe this is the woman God wants you to marry? And the end result of that was I broke the engagement. And then I discovered my parents felt that way, but they never said anything. My friends, people in our church felt that way, but they never said anything. But there was a person who reproved me. Wasn't long after that I met Terry. And by the way, when I introduced Terry to this man and his wife, he wrote me a note that very day after we left. And he said, Dennis, don't let her get away. And praise God for that. But it all started with a reproof. And there have been so many others through the years. And we don't like them at first when they happen to us. But it's part of the instruction of God to give us wisdom. Then there's, another one we don't like, and that is the rod of parents, of when someone is a child still living at home. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother, and all kinds of others that talk about God uses the rod of reproof from a child's parents as part of that instruction. And I praise God for that. And my parents gave me so many spankings, and especially at church, it seemed like at a young age, I was always acting up in church. And my mother thought she would never have to stop taking me out and giving me a spanking. But eventually she did, praise God. We are told in Proverbs 12:1 that we should love the rod from our parents. And it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That's pretty strong language. And then this particular phrase, talking about this instruction. Also, remember in chapter 4, verse 13, we should never let it go, what God is doing through these different instructors in our life. Proverbs 4:13 says, keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. The third benefit is understand words of insight. This is one of the benefits of wisdom, to understand the words of insight. Third part of verse 2, to understand words of insight. This Hebrew word understand is often translated discern, and it means to comprehend. It means to comprehend what words of insight mean, not just comprehend facts. You know, you're taking math and you're trying to comprehend how to do algebra and geometry and all those kinds of things. Not that, but it's words of insight. How to understand words of insight. That's part of wisdom. That's part of a benefit of wisdom and one of the goals for as we are studying the book of Proverbs. You see, we can hear or see something and yet not understand it, but Proverbs will be used of the Lord to help us understand and discern the words of insight. And that's not just the words in the book of Proverbs, but that's all scripture that we can understand and discern. And that's part of the benefit of wisdom. And of course, along with that, we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is giving us understanding and discernment. Then we have the fourth benefit, and that is instruction and wise dealing. Look at verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing. The word instruction there is the same Hebrew word as in verse 2, which remember means admonition or discipline. But in this case, that we would receive instruction in wise dealing. That is, with all the things that come up in life. Things come up in life concerning family relationships. Things come up in life regarding money and career and worship and on and on and on, every area of our life. Where are we going to get the wisdom and instruction for that? It's in the wisdom that God has for us in the book of Proverbs. The fifth one is righteousness, and that's the next phrase in verse 3, in righteousness. Righteousness is right behavior, and it's this benefit of wisdom is knowing how to apply God's standards, because when we talk about God's righteousness, we're talking about his standards of holiness. So the benefit of wisdom is knowing how to apply God's standards in living a godly life and in applying his standards of righteousness in my relationships with other people. We need both, the wisdom of living a godly life and applying his standards in righteousness, but also in applying his standards in righteousness in dealing with other people. And Christians need that. We need to grow. We need to mature. And many times we wind up in terrible conflicts with others and other Christians because we're not living wisely according to God's standards of righteousness and how to discern, how to deal with other people. Now that word righteousness, along with the next two words, justice and equity, show that the wisest course of action in any circumstance will bring your life into conformity with the holiness of God, into conformity with his righteousness, with his fairness, with his justice, and with his equity. Look at the next one, number 6, that is justice, in the third part of verse 3. Justice, that's the ability to judge rightly between opinions and between people. We have to do that all the time, just to judge rightly between opinions. The first time I was ever called up for jury duty, and I was already a pastor, And I was called up for jury duty, and I'll never forget, you know how the attorneys ask the prospective jurors questions. They're trying to weed out bad jurors and get good ones and all of that kind of stuff. And I was really offended when one of the attorneys said, well, as a pastor, can you possibly cast judgment on people? After all, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. I couldn't believe that question, and I said, I have to do that all the time as a pastor, is to judge between things that are said and judge between people. That's not what that verse is meaning, judge not lest you be judged. And it is part of wisdom to have this justice in our thinking, to be able to correctly make these judgments. And then there's equity. I know in the first week of the Biden administration, in at least one of his executive orders, the term equity was there. And there was a lot by commentators on the news about, well, what's the difference between equity and equality? And everyone came to the conclusion that equity is different, and I won't get into all that. But here, we don't have that difference here with this word equity. It simply means fairness. And, you know, children are very quick to say, that's not fair. Every child has said it. You said it, I said it. And their view of fairness is often wrong. But God's fairness is always fair, and it is always just, and it is always righteous. It may not always look that way to us, but as we mature in Christ, we begin to see the fairness of everything that he does. And that's part of the wisdom that he wants to impart to us, that we would have fairness in our dealings. Then we have the eighth benefit, and that's prudence to the simple. And that's in verse 4, the first part, to give prudence to the simple. That word prudence is interesting. The Hebrew word, or a root of that word, is used to describe Satan the serpent in Genesis 3:1, where it says Satan was crafty. Now, that's the root of this same word, prudence, of something he wants for us. Now, God doesn't want to make us crafty in the same sense that Satan was, but he wants to equip us to be able to deal with those who are crafty in that sense. Another word that would be saying what this is saying is the word shrewd. And shrewd would be the ability to devise skillful tactics in attaining one's goals. And when I say shrewd, do you remember the story that Jesus told in Luke 16, the first 13 verses? And there was a dishonest manager who was dishonest in his handling the affairs that his master had put him in charge of. And Jesus in that parable tells about the guy realized he was getting into trouble. And so he did something that really wasn't his right to do. And it really was mismanagement. But he's trying to get himself out of this problem that he's in. And Jesus said something interesting about that. He said, the sons of this world, in other words, non-Christians, like this man in the parable, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. The sons of light are believers. And so he's saying there is a sense in which believers are to be shrewd, not in a sinful sense, but that we are able to navigate these difficult situations we get into, a lot of them because non-believers are very craftily trying to take advantage of us. And so God wants us to have wisdom in all of these dealings, which is called here prudence. Now, he mentions this prudence to the simple. We're going to see that word simple, referring to a certain group of people, numerous times in Proverbs. The simple person in Proverbs is an unsuspecting, gullible person. You know, some people will believe everything that they hear. And every conspiracy theory they will believe. Everything that is too good to be true about making money, some get rich quick scheme, and they are gullible for it. There are people that are just so gullible, and that's what he's talking about here. And there are Christians that are that way. And so he says, I don't want you to continue to be that way as a child of God. That you would have this prudence, that you would no longer be gullible like that. An example of a person who is simple and gullible was Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here came Satan, and he was very persuasive. And he's telling all of these things to Eve. But Eve had one weapon that would have defeated Satan, but she didn't use it. And that was what God had really said. But in her gullibility, she didn't respond to Satan with what God had really said. But instead, she believed his lie. And she was very gullible. Solomon wanted to put that same word. The word that she should have said was, but the Lord has said. Solomon wants to put that phrase into our vocabulary. And that we will not be gullible to Satan and to the people that he is using in all kinds of ways. And so he's promised a benefit of wisdom, prudence to the simple. Then the ninth one, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And that's the second part of verse 4. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Discretion is the ability to form a wise and practical plan of action and work and to accomplish it. So it's wise and practical plan of action and work to accomplish it. And it gives protection to us from harm that can come our way because of foolishly proceeding with an unwise plan. Like chapter 2, verse 11, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you from proceeding with an unwise plan. Several weeks ago, we had our men's fellowship. And Steve has been taking us through the historical parts of the book of Daniel, God's work in Daniel's life, and all the lessons in that for us. And last time, a few weeks ago, one of the verses we came to was Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. And it's in the context of Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, this very troubling dream, and he wanted to know, because he believed that dreams were always meaning something, had a message. And so he wanted to know what the dream meant. And so you remember he had sent word out to all of his advisors, you know, tell me what this dream means. But to make sure you're not just making it up, you have to tell me what the dream was. I remember what the dream was, but I'm not going to tell you. And none of them could do it, but God revealed it to Daniel. And in Daniel 2:14, these words just jumped out at me when Steve read them, because I had been studying this verse that very day from Proverbs. And in Daniel 2:14, Daniel had, guess what? Prudence and discretion. A great example of this wisdom that God entrusted into Daniel's life, of this discretion and this prudence, this ability to have a practical plan of action and work to accomplish it, and that would give protection, brought on by foolishly proceeding with an unwise plan. He could have come up with his own thing, but he didn't. He came up with God's thing, and he was a man of prudence and discretion. It mentions here that this knowledge and discretion, especially to the youth. How old do you think these youth are? The Hebrew word there is used of infants in Exodus 2:6, referring to Moses. 1 Samuel 1:22 and 24 refers to Samuel when he was very young. In 1 Samuel 4:21, it refers to a baby named Ichabod. And then later in Genesis 37:2, it refers to 17-year-old Joseph. So you've got babies, you've got young ones, you've got 17-year-olds. And then in Genesis 41, verse 12 and 41:46, it refers to 30-year-old Joseph. So it's this term youth has a wide range there. It seems to be anyone who's not yet a senior citizen. And he's saying, oh, but God will give you this wisdom. A fruit of the wisdom will be knowledge and discretion to the youth. And, of course, a big characteristic of youth, whether they're children or young adults, is vulnerability. They are often ignorant to the ways of the world and the lack of self-control. And so God says, even as a youth like Daniel, you don't have to be like that. Well, then the tenth benefit is increase in learning. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning. The wise will hear. Hearing is not just hearing the speaker's words externally, but also to obey them. And then to increase in learning. Every time we hear the book of Proverbs read, every time we read the book of Proverbs, it increases our knowledge. That's one of the benefits of reading Proverbs every month, which the whole book in a month you can do, one chapter a day. Do that every month for a year, you'd have 12 times. We are never fully wise. The Lord, Jesus Christ, was, but we are never fully wise. And a wise person knows he hasn't arrived, and he needs to grow. I was blessed in the first half of my time as pastor in Irvine with two older godly men. They both happened to be retired missionaries from the China Inland Mission. And Eldon Whipple and Will Bruce. And they, in their retirement, were part of our church. And Terry and I would often comment, isn't it beautiful to see how they want to keep learning? I mean, they've been around the block a few times. And here, every time there was Bible study, every time there was a service, you know, they were there. They wanted to learn more. And then I loved that they loved to read Scripture. And things would come up about what they had read in Scripture. And then they loved to read other books that explain Scripture and things of the Christian life. And I loved both of those men dearly. And they were a real model to me of keep on learning. And that's one of the things that he has here. And to increase in learning. And then we have the last, the 11th benefit, and that's guidance. The last part of verse 5, and the one who understands obtains guidance. That word guidance, the Hebrew word, comes from a nautical term for the steering ropes of a ship. A sailor would steer would pull on ropes that would wind up steering the ship. And so Proverbs gives us guidance. Its guidance enables us to steer safely through life. That's a beautiful picture of guidance, to be able to steer us safely through life. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have rough waters, but you're steered safely through life. That's God's guidance, and he has that guidance for us. Then in verse 6, he goes further to understand a proverb and a saying. The term saying there refers to something that is harder to understand than a proverb. We can easily say that some of the proverbs are very hard to understand because we need to know the culture and things like that. But there are sayings that are harder to understand than a proverb, and they need reflection and they need interpretation. But he says, one of the blessings that you're going to have with this wisdom, it's going to help you to understand a saying. And then he says, the words of the wise person will seek other people who are wise and they have learned things to learn from them. And then take what they say and compare it with Scripture. So to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. That's an interesting word. The word riddles is used most often concerning Samson. And Samson in the book of Judges. However, there, those riddles weren't as serious as what is being referred to here. What's being referred to here as riddles, we might say the mysteries of life. In other words, philosophical questions. And Proverbs was written for all who face the philosophical questions. What is life all about? What am I here for? All these philosophical questions. He says God wants to give you wisdom in those. That will be a benefit. Well, so picture Solomon saying to his son, we're going to have a course in wisdom. Here's what it's going to do. Can't you imagine Solomon's son, Rehoboam, I assume, saying, where do I sign up for that course of study? Well, the answer starts in verse 7. And so we have number 2 on our outline, our starting point for having wisdom. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is a key phrase in Proverbs. It's found 14 times throughout the book, and it's not a fear of eternal judgment, but rather a reverence for God. Key word in understanding, the fear of the Lord for the Christian is reverence for God. Now, when we're in disobedience, certainly there is that aspect of fear of the discipline of the Lord, but there that comes out of a reverence for God. It's a concern to give God the glory and the honor that he deserves, along with a dread that seeks to avoid anything that displeases him and dishonors him. And this fear of the Lord will protect us from temptation. It will give us motivation for godly living. I put on your notes a quotation from Charles Bridges. He was a Bible teacher and pastor in the early 1800s and wrote one of the best lasting commentaries on Proverbs. And he said, the fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's law. It is a worshiping submission to the God of the Bible. Oswald Chambers, a lot of people are familiar with devotional things that he wrote. He wrote, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. I think that is a tremendous statement that is so true about the fear of the Lord. But he says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And the idea of the beginning is the foundation. And I love a comment from Bruce Waltke, who wrote a very good commentary, 2-volume commentary on Proverbs. He said, what the alphabet is to reading, notes to reading music, and numerals to mathematics, the fear of the Lord is to the attaining of this book. That's classic. And it's the very foundation. You're not going to get anywhere in Proverbs if you don't have the fear of the Lord. And he says here now, there's going to be a number of places where it says beginning of wisdom. Here it says it's the beginning of knowledge. We have a lot of people going around today claiming to have knowledge about all kinds of things, but it's really foolishness. And that is a real tragedy of our day. And at the heart of their problem is a lack of the fear of God. Then he goes on and says, fools. Now, we're going to read a lot about fools in Proverbs. Here we're introduced to them. There are three Hebrew words translated fools in Proverbs. This word refers to the person who is a lax or careless person. And it's the height of folly to be careless and lax in coming to God's word for wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need to be aware that we're going to be surrounded by a whole host of people who are going in the opposite direction of wisdom. And we have to realize that's the way of the fool. And we don't want to be the way of the fool. We want to be the way of the godly. And there are many roads in life that promise future success and happiness and riches, but there's only one road to true success. And that's the road of the fear of the Lord and wisdom. And then lastly, number three, we have our first God-given source of wisdom. And guess what it is? Parents. That's the first source of wisdom that God gave to us when we entered into the world. You have little Benjamin, not even a year old yet, but he's in that school. God has given him instructors of parents. And then every child continuing to grow is under that instruction. So in verse 8, hear my son. Solomon's son was probably about 20 years old when he wrote this, and he's standing on the threshold of his adulthood, and there are two conflicting worldviews that are making their appearance in his life. One is the worldview of the world and of death, and the other is of wisdom and life. And so Solomon begins three lectures to his son, to motivate his son and all the gullible. And particularly in two areas in this section we're coming to that we'll get to another time. First area, escape the easy money offered by wicked men. Our children, our young adults need to know that at an early age, that they're going to be tempted by those who are offering easy money, but they're wicked people, and their whole modus operandi is wicked. And then escape the easy sex thrown at them by the immoral woman. And Solomon's going to have a lot to say about that in the next few chapters in Proverbs. And then he says in the next line, forsake not your mother's teaching. Now, Solomon fully is coming from the standpoint that the father has a role of instructing, because he says the father's instruction, but also the mother has a role in instructing. And he doesn't say fathers instruct and mothers change the diapers. No, he's saying both fathers and mothers have a responsibility to teach. And then lastly, our last verse, verse 9. For they, that is, the teachings of our father and our mother, are a graceful garland. It's a graceful garland. A graceful garland for your head. I don't want a graceful garland for my head. Well, for them, that would be like if you were in the Olympics and you got a gold, silver, or bronze medal, and it was put around your neck. That would be a symbol of honor because you have been a winner in the Olympics. And he says, oh, this teaching of God's first instructor in your life is going to be like a sign of honor the rest of your life as you have responded to the teaching of your parents. And then the next phrase, and pendants for your neck. Also, again, sound like something like a gold, silver, or bronze medal around your neck. It's a symbol of success and honor. And he says, that's what will be with you the rest of your life if you listen to the instruction of your parents. I love the summary of this verse by John Kitchen in his commentary on Proverbs. He said, submitting early to the refining process of instruction and discipline of parents removes many of the personal habits and qualities that could spoil relationships later in life. You know, marriage problems, problems with the boss at work and so on. Many of those would be avoided if, as children, we listen to the instruction of our parents. He continues, to heed the discipline of father and the instruction of mother yields a happy life full of fruitful and friendly relationships. People will be drawn to you and desire your company. And I would add, and you'll be pleasing to the Lord. There is an example, the greatest example in Scripture of someone who did this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is, eternal God, come in human flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, comes into the world, he has his mother, he has his adopted father, not biological, but adopted father of Joseph, who raised him. And after that incident in the temple in Luke chapter 2, when he was taken to Jerusalem and he confounded the elders and so on, after all of that, he's now a teenager. Luke 2, 51 and 52 talk about how that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. But part of that was he paid attention to the instruction of his earthly mother and his earthly adopted father. Here he is, God. That was part of humbling himself. But he submitted to them. And as they taught him the beginning things of the instruction of the Lord. Well, in conclusion, we need to get to know the benefits of wisdom, know what they are, but also begin to see them in our life. We need to grow in the fear of the Lord. It will spring out of a deep adoration and love for God, and it comes from acknowledging every sin and offense in our life as offensive to God. And we need to give attention to our parents' teaching. Now, in my case, my parents are with the Lord. I can't express gratitude to them today for what they did. But reading and studying these verses this week made me think of my father and my mother. And they were not perfect. There are no perfect parents. And I'm not always been as grateful as I should be towards what they taught me. But the last couple of days in preparing this has really prompted me to think back on some of the things of wisdom that they taught me and to be grateful to God for them. I trust you are too. And so let's apply these things to our hearts and lives. Let's pray. Father, how we do thank you for these verses. There is so much in them. And Lord, we thank you that you want us to grow in wisdom. And you have given us the book of Proverbs. You have given us all of your word. And you have given us the mind of Christ, who is the one who is wisdom come in the flesh. And so, Father, we have no excuse when we don't look into your wisdom and apply your wisdom. And we pray that we would be doing that in the days to come. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.